I think most of you know that the U.S. has the largest, in real numbers, the largest prison population on Earth. But if you measure it differently, if you just measure prison population by a percentage of the overall population, I have to believe that Israel's incarceration rate of Palestinians has got to lead the world. 40%, 40%, 2 out of every 5 Palestinian men living in the illegally occupied territories have been detained by Israeli forces and have spent time in jail, and sometimes multiple times. A lesser known story is the plight of Palestinian women, and that's what I want to focus on tonight. Since the beginning of the occupation in 1967, following the Six-Day War, approximately 10,000 Palestinian women have been arrested and detained by Israeli forces. Other sources I've read claim it's as high as 15,000. To put that number in perspective, according to Adamir, Addamier, Adamir, or go to adamir.org, it's a prison support and human rights association. And as of May of last year, 6,200 Palestinians were being held in Israeli prisons. Only 56 of them were women at that time. Palestinian detainees describe themselves as political prisoners, and they're either in prison either due to trumped-up charges or in violation of their right to resist occupation. That is a right under international law. I even looked it up. The 1960 Declaration on the Granting of Independence to Colonial Countries and Peoples and the Fourth Geneva Convention and its subsequent protocols taken together declare that people have the right to, quote, fight against colonial domination and alien occupation in the exercise of their right to self-determination, unquote. The Palestinian rights group, or rights NGO, Adamir, issued two reports, one in March of 2016 and one in December of last year, 2017, and both of them are linked at the Tangents homepage. And they document the inhumane treatment of Palestinian women from the first moment of their arrest. Here's an example that was written up by Adamir and also highlighted in an article by Bay Area Electronic Intifada contributor Charlotte Silver. It's the case of Maria, who exemplifies the abuses that are endured at every stage of Israel's arrest and detention process. I'm going to quote this March 2016 report. Maria Bakir is a 16-year-old girl from the city of Jerusalem. She was arrested on October 10th, 1915. I'm sorry, my God, listen to me. She was arrested on October 10th, 2015, after she was shot 10 times in her left arm by an Israeli soldier. She was not carrying anything, and when the soldier asked her to raise her hands, she did so, but he pushed her, which made her fall to the ground. And when the police attended the scene, a police officer pushed her to the ground again, causing her to hit her head onto the ground. The police officer started searching her body with his hands, took her headscarf off, and took her clothing off until he reached her underwear. She was later transferred in an unprofessional manner by an ambulance to Hadassah Ein Karim while she was left naked despite her requests to cover her body. Later, an investigator from the police attended the hospital while she was naked and her body bleeding and asked her if she tried to stab a soldier, which she denied. Later, she was forced to enter the operating room without being informed of the nature of the operation or her medical status. She was then put in a room with her hand and leg tied to the bed all the time, with the presence of two male guards who cursed her and her mother repeatedly. One of the guards told her to die, and another guard took a selfie with her against her will. Maria was taken to the court on a wheelchair with the legs cuffed, and currently she is suffering from fractures in her arm. She was transferred to Ashkelon Prison on November 20th, 2015, where the prison conditions were poor and where she was subjected to medical neglect. She was later transferred to the section for criminal prisoners in Ramleh Prison, unquote. Subsequently, she was sentenced to more than 8 years in prison. There are many such documented testimonies from former female Palestinian prisoners and from prisoners who are still in custody. The unlawful and debilitating and degrading treatment of Palestinian women, as I say, encompassed the entire process from the very beginning, from the arrest. Often it's a night raid at someone's home. And then they're interrogated, they're detained, they're brought to a prison center, and sometimes, even in this case I was just mentioning, they're even sent to hospitals while in custody. Ademir points out that these techniques of torture, including sexual assault, are used not only as a means to intimidate Palestinian women, but also as tools to humiliate Palestinian women and coerce them into giving confessions. The periods of interrogation are often described by these Palestinian prisoners as the most violent part of the detention process. They're not only subjected to physical and psychological torture, such as being tied in stress positions, sleep deprivation, solitary confinement, excessive use of blindfolds and handcuffs, denial of access to showers or change of clothing for days or even weeks, and beatings. But they're also subject to methods targeting them specifically because of their gender. Some Palestinian women have spoken up against, they've spoken up about being raped in Israeli custody, but most will not discuss this. They won't because of the social taboos associated with rape in Arab society. Former prisoner Aisha Aydat, A-W-D-A-T, she will never forget March 10th, 1969, when she was raped with a stick by her Israeli investigator. She has documented that night and her experiences in prison in her book called Dreams of Freedom, published in 2004. I'm not sure it's still in print, but the name of the book is Dreams of Freedom. She now heads the association Women Imprisoned for Freedom, dubbed Masira, and its objective is to document the experiences of female prisoners in Israeli jails and also to assist them. Quoting Sahar Francis, the director of Ademir, quote, "It's not something that's done," it referring to sexual torture, "it's not something that's done by an individual soldier who decided to humiliate or mistreat the prisoners," she said. "It's part of the process, part of the policy, in order to affect the entire society and put it under pressure, because they are aware that gender is a sensitive subject in Palestinian society," unquote. One of the main issues for Palestinian women in Israeli prisons is the issue of medical care. In its report, Ademir claims medical care is, quote, "a right strategically denied by Israeli prison service." Ademir goes on to say, a study conducted in September 2008 by Ademir revealed that approximately 38% of Palestinian female prisoners suffer from treatable diseases that go untreated. Harsh imprisonment conditions, such as lack of fresh air and sunlight, moisture in the winter, heat in the summer, dirty, overcrowded cells which are infested with insects, combined with stress, poor diet, and isolation from families contribute to frequent menstruation perturbations. Many women also suffer from rheumatism and dermatological problems due to the moisture infiltrating their cells in the winter. In the summer, poor ventilation, lack of fresh air, and the prevalence of cockroaches and other bugs also contribute to skin diseases. Despite requests made by women prisoners, the prison authorities have repeatedly refused to provide them with cleaning products. Unquote. This is directly from the Adamir report. Again, Director Francis of Adamir, quote, "The prison system says it offers the basic medical service, but honestly, we think not, because the main treatment they offer for anything is a painkiller." Unquote. Even mundane aspects of women's health become a struggle, particularly when women are in interrogation centers. Quote, this is from one former female Palestinian prisoner. "When I had my period, they just gave me paper tissues," unquote. To date, there are no specialized gynecological services available for Palestinian women held in Israeli prisons and detention centers. Adamir has a special section. It's called Denial of Rights to Pregnant Women, Pre- and Post-Delivery, Pregnant Women Prisoners. Get this, I'll quote. "Pregnant detainees who are transferred to hospitals to give birth are moved only under strict security supervision, with the woman's hands and feet typically shackled with metal chains. The women are then chained to their beds until they enter the delivery room and are shackled once again only minutes after delivery." Goes on to say, Article 12 of the Convention to End All Discrimination Against Women, ratified by Israel on October 3, 1981, stipulates that states' parties shall ensure to women appropriate services in connection with pregnancy, confinement in the postnatal period, granting free services where necessary, as well as adequate nutrition during pregnancy and lactation, unquote. As horrific as the treatment and conditions are for Palestinian women from the moment they are arrested through detention, I cannot stress enough that this is combined with insanely long prison sentences. And these sentences are an integral part of the Israeli policy of oppression, which amounts to really mass punishment to terrorize Palestinian women and deter them from becoming activists against the occupation should they get out of prison. The latest example is one that maybe you're familiar with, 16-year-old Palestinian activist Ahed Tamimi. She could face up to 10 years in prison for essentially slapping an Israeli soldier after Israeli soldiers had raided her home. Amnesty International put out a press release on January 15th called Release Ahed Tamimi. In fact, I'll quote it. It says, "In fact, nothing that Tina has done can justify her continued detention. It is outrageously excessive for such a comparatively small crime and entirely inappropriate for a child. The Israeli authorities must acknowledge this and release her immediately." The incident involving Ahed took place on the same day that her 15-year-old cousin Mohammed was hit in the head at close range by a rubber bullet fired by an Israeli soldier. His family told us that he needed surgery to remove part of his skull. 4 days later, Ahed and her mother were arrested by Israeli soldiers during a night raid at their home. The arrest took place after Ahed's mother had posted the footage online. Amnesty International also says that currently around 350 Palestinian children are detained in Israel. The research for this Gaza Corner is primarily from Adamir, adamir.org, A-D-D-A-M-E-E-R, the two reports that are posted at the Tangents homepage. It's an extraordinary prisoner support organization based in Palestine. I went to their website to contribute some money. They don't even have a credit card set up, and I emailed them, and they wrote back and said, "Our banks in Palestine are not that advanced," unquote. I did talk to one of the people at Adamir. There is a way to get it done, and just not using a credit card. If you were moved by some of the things that you've heard during Gaza Corner tonight, if you appreciate the work that Adamir is doing, and God knows, when 40% of males have been in an Israeli prison and women are treated in such an inhumane way, Adamir's work is extraordinarily important. If you'd like to make a contribution, email me and we'll pool it together and I'll send it to Adamir, maybe in the name of Tangents Radio. You can email me at tangentsradio@gmail.com, tangentsradio@gmail.com. I'd like to play the music of a wonderful Palestinian singer who I met when I visited Israel and Palestine in 2015. Her name is Amal Murkis, and she's, whether she's playing with a band or just with her voice by herself, she's really amazing. This is, to start with, an a cappella piece, Amal Murkis on Gaza Corner.
يرفي السهر يا عود متكي على المخمل تتوجع وبتروح آخر دني وترجع تكتب وتمحي حدود يا عود ترارارارارا